You know, today's message is called The Power to Prosper. And God's plan from the very beginning when he created us, from the foundation of the world, he wants us to prosper. This is still true today. He wants us to prosper in all ways. He wants us to prosper in our relationships, in our businesses, in our health. Everything that our hand touches, every project that he gives us, every assignment that we step into, everything that we start off on, anything that we touch should increase and multiply. It should grow exponentially. We should have incredible blessings on all levels. This is the will of God, and this is the plan of God. We have the power to prosper. And this is what he wants to bring in our life. And actually, he has already brought it into our lives. And now it's a matter, we're talking to you today, so that you can begin to now believe for this. If you can believe that on every single aspect of your life, that God wants you to prosper. In other words, I'm talking financially. He wants you to increase. He wants you to have everything that you need. It's all planned out for you. Listen to this. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." It says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." My God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. Everything you need. God wants to supply it. He is the ultimate supplier. My source. Some people call God their source. What does that mean? Supplier. He provides all your needs. He's the source. He is the provider. We have to begin to see God, though, as your provider and understand that he wants to provide all your needs. Not just some of your needs, not just a few of your needs, but everything. All. All means everything. Everything that you possibly need, God wants to provide it. You know, when we're sharing the testimonials and you hear what God is doing in people's lives, you start to get an inkling or a sense of that, don't you? How he's providing and assisting and giving all these things that sometimes people weren't even expecting or knowing that they needed, but God is bringing them in. Because that's his will and that's his plan. God wants to provide all your needs. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All your needs. Begin to let that sink in. Because we have to have an understanding and we have to have a knowingness in our heart that God wants to provide all your needs. All right? Now check this out. From the very beginning, this was God's plan. Now in Genesis chapter 1, this is right after, this is verse 28 I'm reading from. This is right after God has created man. So God's already created everything. He creates man. And the first thing he says to him, "Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." First thing God does is he bestows his blessing upon them. He creates man, and the first thing he does, he blesses them. He gives them the blessing. Now, that means Adam has the blessing. He has received it. The moment he is created, he receives the blessing. The blessing now is in his life. And when they're in the Garden of Eden, you see that all they have, all they need, they have. They have everything they need is being provided. They lack nothing. There is no lack. There is nothing that they don't have. God has provided everything for them, and they're receiving it abundantly. They're receiving it on all levels. It's a great place. This is the will of God. From the very beginning, his plan was to provide for all your needs. But something happened in the Garden of Eden. Suddenly, they felt like they didn't have something. They felt like they were lacking something. See, they're believing, they're understanding, they didn't realize God provides all my needs. They had a little misunderstanding in that. And that's why this is important for you to get this and understand that he provides all your needs, all of them. Because they started thinking, well, because this, remember, the serpent comes along and says, well, if you want to be like God, then you need to eat from this tree. They started believing that God had not provided for them to be like God. They were tricked because he had created them in his own image, in his likeness. He had created them, male and female, he had created them. In other words, he had already provided for them to be like him. But they didn't understand that. So because they felt they were lacking something, that they were not as good as God, they felt something was missing, they go to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But by doing that, what they did is they said, God is not my provider. God doesn't provide all my needs. I have to provide for myself. The minute we say we have to provide for ourselves, we have separated ourselves from God. And this is what happened to Adam and Eve. They separated themselves from God because they didn't believe that he was providing all their needs. They didn't believe that he was their provider, that he was their source. And once they stepped out into providing their own needs, they discovered something very quickly. Because God now had to tell them, he said, uh-oh. He said, well, now you're going to have to go and toil. Now you're going to have to work. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to be eating bread. And in your conception, you know, Eve, you're going to be bringing forth in pain. In other words, to create something or to provide your own needs, you're going to have to work real hard and struggle. And it's not going to be easy all the days of your life. It's going to be hard. Whereas before that, when God was providing for them, everything was easy. It was paradise. And anything they needed, they had it. But see, because they didn't understand that God provides all their needs, because of that, they got tricked into going and trying to provide for themselves. And the minute you start to provide for yourself, you end up with nothing. It ends up being hard. Whatever you have, you scratch, you struggle, you scrape, and you can't have enough. You can't get it all met. There's not enough hours in the day. There's too much toil that you're exhausted because we were not created to live like that. This was not the plan of God. The plan of God was to provide all of our needs as he did for Adam and Eve in the very beginning. But don't worry. God hadn't given up on that plan. You know, after a while, God had to cleanse the earth because so many people were trying to provide their own needs in all kinds of ridiculous ways that it had become chaotic. And by a giant, great flood, he destroyed everything. But then, this one guy, Noah, who had built an ark because he'd heard from God, when he comes off this ark, God says to him, here's the first thing he says. Now we have a whole fresh start, clean slate going on here. Clean slate. Now creation is starting again, right? There it is. And here's the first thing God says to Noah and his family. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast on the earth, on every bird of the air. In other words, you have dominion. And on all that move on the earth and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, and even as the green herbs. So what happens? Noah comes off the ark. It's the beginning of creation again, the beginning of life again. It's a whole new life. And the first thing God says over Noah and his family, be blessed. He says, I'm going to put my blessing on you. I'm going to provide for your needs. You've got authority and dominion over this earth. This is my power. This is my will for you. This is what I have designed. And so now the blessing is on Noah. So that Noah now can have all his needs provided. He doesn't have to struggle or scrape or work hard to get by. In other words, he's got everything he needs and God is providing it for him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's a good plan. But a few generations down the road, Noah's ancestors decide they're going to provide all their needs. And we read a story about them trying to build the Tower of Babel. In other words, they have gotten so into doing their fulfilling their own needs. Again, they didn't understand that God is providing their needs. And they begin to provide their own. And they even say, we're going to build this tower all the way up to heaven. In other words, we're going to get to heaven on our own. We're going to provide a tower that we can get to heaven. So again, they're providing for their own needs. What happens when we start trying to fill our own needs? Now you start to struggle. Now there becomes conflicts. Now you don't have enough. There's lack. And when there's lack, there's wars. As a result of that, why? Because we don't understand that God is our provider. He is our source. And He is providing everything for us. And so once again, they have lost this blessing. God keeps giving them this blessing. This blessing provides everything for them. And then they forget. They lose it. See, it takes a discerning person to understand and hear God. And when we're hearing from God, we now do what He says. We go where He says. We know what to do. We know when to do it. We know what to say exactly at that moment. And as a result of that, we can walk in His blessing, receiving financial abundance, receiving health, receiving goodness, because God has given us the power to prosper.
Amen.
But so many people get tricked or fooled, or they just don't understand what an incredible thing the blessing of God is. They don't get it. And as a result of that, they start trying to provide their own needs. And then they enter into the struggle and the turmoil and the lack that we see so often in the world. So again, the blessing gets lost. Not a problem. God hasn't given up. God is still working. His plan is still to bless us. Along comes a man called Abram. Abram in the beginning. And Abram hears from God. And here's what God says to him. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. God is talking to Abraham. And He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So upon this man, Abraham, God puts His blessing. Just like He did on Noah, just like He did on Adam, now He puts it on Abraham. Abraham has this blessing upon him. What does that mean? That means God is going to take care of him. That means God is going to provide all his needs. That means when he needs to know what to do or where to go, God will guide him and tell him and show him. And in that, he will prosper. And we see as we read the story of Abraham, everywhere Abraham goes, and he left his father's house and his father's land to go to this land where God guided him to go. What's happening along the way? Blessings are falling upon Abraham. He is increasing in wealth. He is increasing his livestock. He is increasing his herds. He is increasing his gold and his silver. It doesn't matter what happens. He is increasing and multiplying. Have you heard that before? Be fruitful and multiply. Because everywhere Abraham is going, that's exactly what's happening to him. And he becomes great. He becomes great in the land. He is a legend. People know who he is. This guy is famous. I mean, he's like on all the top billboards. They know who he is. This guy is famous. And he became famous not by providing his own needs, not by trying to meet his own needs, but by understanding that this blessing that God has put on me will meet all my needs. And he's relying on God for all of that. In due time, he is blessed with a son. Takes a little while, but the blessing comes because God promised it. And Abraham's faithful and he receives that blessing, that son Isaac. And when the time comes, Abraham now passes the blessing that God gave him. He passes that upon Isaac. The blessing works in the same way upon Isaac. Isaac goes out in his life and he gets a great wife. She comes, you know, she's brought in a supernatural way. He receives also increase wherever he goes. His needs are provided, even in the midst of a famine when there's no food in the land, where nothing is growing, where nobody's thriving, where people are starving. Isaac wasn't starving because God's providing his needs. And God told him, don't go down to Egypt. Stay here in the land where I put you and I'll provide for you, he said. So Isaac was like, okay, but there's a famine. God tells him to sow seed, to plant a field. So he goes ahead and plants a field in the midst of a drought. Just imagine, the earth is bone dry. There's no rain. You know, there's no irrigation system set up to bring water in from somewhere else. It's bone dry out there. But Isaac knows he saw his father receive blessing, and now he is hearing the voice of God. He knows the blessing is on him, and God has made promises, and so he sows that seed in the land, and when harvest time comes, he has a 100-fold harvest. In other words, it's a bumper crop. It is an incredible harvest. It is a major harvest. This man increased in wealth. He became the richest man upon the earth. Because again, the blessing of God was providing for all his needs. So he didn't starve in the land when there was famine. He didn't struggle. God just kept protecting him, watching over him. His herds grew. His wealth grew. His gold grew. His silver grew. It all multiplied and increased in exponential ways. It increased. And Isaac also had sons. He had Jacob, and he had Esau. And this is interesting, because when the time came, he ended up blessing Jacob. And Jacob was the younger son. And this wasn't the tradition. Esau was the older son. And they were twins. They came out a few minutes apart. But the older son, Esau, was the one who was supposed to receive this blessing. But yet Jacob got it. And some people say, well, that wasn't fair. But you know what I think? I think this was divinely planned. I think this was sown. And I think these two characters, Esau and Jacob, are showing us somebody who appreciates the blessing and somebody who doesn't understand the blessing. Somebody who will do anything to get this blessing because they know if I have this, no matter where I go or what I do, I will increase. And somebody who couldn't care less because they didn't understand what it did. And we see that because early on, Esau, one day he had come back from hunting, and he sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. He didn't appreciate what he had. He didn't get what it could do. He wasn't hungry to have this in his life, where I believe Jacob was. Jacob was willing to steal and lie and cheat. I don't know if those are good things. Probably not. But he did it because he wanted to have God's blessing upon his life. And when he received it, sure enough, he went out, and everywhere Jacob went, he increased. People were trying to steal and cheat from him. They couldn't do it because God would tell him exactly what to do to overcome it. And the blessing kept working. His herds were multiplying. His family was increasing. Again, the blessing is providing for all his needs. Say amen to this.
Amen.
He's got all his needs provided. He ended up having 12 sons. Out of those sons, again, we see, and this is one of the recurring themes that we can see throughout the Bible, there are a limited few people who can see and understand that God is their provider, and that God will fulfill all their needs. And there is a mass amount of people who are trying to provide their own needs. Out of these 12 sons, there was really only one son that got it. There was only one son that understood that God could bless him and give him all his needs. Everybody else was doing it on their own. But this one, Joseph, he understood. He heard from God and God guided him. And it didn't matter what kind of situations or circumstances Joseph was thrown into. His brothers sold him into slavery. He rose to the top. He was lied about by the wife of Potiphar, which was the slave owner, and thrown into prison. And in prison, he rose to the top. And in spite of people forgetting to put in a good word for him with the king, with Pharaoh, he rose to the top. And he rose all the way to the top to be the guy that ran Egypt. And he did that because the blessing of God is upon him. And he understands that, and he has received it. And now God is providing for him, protecting him, promoting him. His finances are increasing. He's got a palace. He's got a wife. He's got children. He runs the entire country. He's got say over every single thing. Pharaoh's just a figurehead, you know, at the time. But he's running, Joseph's running everything. Joseph's the man running it. And that all happened because the blessing of God is upon this man. The other 12 ended up having to follow him because they weren't following God. They were trying to provide their own needs. The other 11, excuse me, were trying to provide their own needs. And when, by the time came for the people of Israel to leave Egypt, they weren't hearing from God so great anymore. They weren't letting this blessing work upon them. Moses came. The blessing was working through Moses. He was able to deliver them out of the land of Egypt through great miracles, signs, and wonders, because God is working through him. But they get out into the wilderness, and even though God is providing for these people, they want to provide for themselves. They say, give us laws. Give us these laws. We'll follow them. We can do it. We can follow anything you give us. We'll do it. Instead of allowing God to provide for them, when they finally receive the promised land, which is years later, the people say, give us a king. Let him rule over us. In other words, we don't want you to rule over us, God. Give us a king to rule over us. So we'll follow these laws and we'll have a king rule over us and this will be great. And God said, you're not going to like this. See, God wants to provide it, provide for us, but these guys are saying, let the king provide for us. Let the laws provide for us. And what happened? Kings were corrupt. They didn't listen to God. They did their own thing a lot of times. Some of them did some of the stuff God wanted, but they taxed the crap out of the people. And they lost all their wealth. They didn't have blessing upon their life anymore. They had kings on their heads. And laws weighing down upon their shoulders, which they could not fulfill, which nobody could fulfill. We need this blessing. We need this blessing. God's been trying to give us the blessing. He's been trying to give it in so many ways because the blessing is the power to prosper. From the very beginning, he wanted us to have that blessing. But we got to understand and see that that is what is so important. Let's take a look. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. This blessing, the same blessing that God put upon Adam, the same blessing that he put upon Noah, the same blessing that he put upon Abraham and that Abraham passed down to Isaac and Jacob, that same blessing is a blessing that'll make you rich. And we saw it. They were rich. They prospered. They increased. They multiplied. They were fruitful in all the things that they did. They had it all. Man, I wish we had that blessing. Don't you? Well, check it out. Check it out. We got something here. God didn't change his plan. We go down to Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. No more law! Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might have come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In other words, God didn't give up. God wanted to continue to have us have the blessing. He comes down to walk upon the earth as Jesus in order to fulfill the laws, because they had to be fulfilled before we could overcome them so that we could be made righteous. And when we believe in him and we receive that, we receive the righteousness. When we receive the righteousness, now we are entitled to be reconciled to God. When we are reconciled to God, meaning made one with him, we receive the blessing. When we have the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, meaning that we have the power to prosper in all things. Say amen to that.
Amen.
This is the plan of God. He hasn't given up. He hasn't changed his mind. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. Even though decades and generations have gone by, they have forgotten it. They let it fall by the wayside. They didn't appreciate it like Esau didn't appreciate it from his father, but Jacob did. People let it fall away. They thought they could meet their own needs. But God understands if you want to have a life without struggle and turmoil, without scratching and struggling and working in lack, you need him to be your provider. You need him to provide all your needs. And my God will supply all your needs. And he's going to do it. And he does it right here. We're reading here in Galatians how he redeemed us from the law. We're no longer under it. we are now under the blessing of Abraham, the same blessing. And it's a blessing that now God sees us as righteous because we believe by faith. By believing what God said, we are now seen as righteous by God, and the blessing comes upon us. And the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. We have the power to prosper. It has been put in us. Now we have to begin to really let that sink in. Because just like Adam, and just like Noah's ancestors, and just like Abraham's ancestors, we can get to a point where we start to try to provide our own needs. And the same thing will happen to us that happened to them if we start to provide our own needs. We suddenly disconnect ourselves from God. God is no longer our provider. We're going to provide for ourselves. And the minute we do that, we step out from under the blessing. And now we have to work hard. We have to scratch and scrimp and find ways to make ends meet. It's difficult. But the great thing is that God has provided a way for us. We don't have to do that if we truly understand that the blessing is the answer and that God is our provider. If we understand that God is our provider and will meet all our needs. Let's read that again. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. All your needs. All your needs are provided for. And we just got to keep looking to God as our provider, our source. He's the one that's going to fill it. He's going to guide us. And by hearing the Spirit of God, he can lead us. He can lead us to where we need to be. He can lead us to the person we need to talk to. We will know what to say and when to say it. And we'll know how to say it. Because that's how the Spirit of God is working. It worked like that with Abraham. And it worked like that with Joseph. And it works like that with us too. It works like that with us too. That is the will of God. Here we see the plan unfolding. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." In other words, God came down in that body with riches. The ability, that blessing to bring riches into anything you touched, into your finances, into your business, into your relationship, it would multiply and increase. He came down with that ability. We saw him multiplying bread. We saw him healing the sick. We saw him telling Peter, run down and throw a hook in and catch a fish, open its mouth, pull a gold coin out. That's how the prosperity comes to us. Gold coins, or coins coming out of the mouths of fish. All over the place, it's happening. We see that he's got that blessing on him. But now, how does he get it to us? There has to be a trade. He takes on everything from us. All the iniquities, all the falsities, all the mistakes, all the trying to meet things, you know, on our own. He takes that all onto himself. And in exchange, he gives us this same blessing. It's a trade. He trades places with us. And when we have that trading places moment, now we receive again. We now have the ability, as God always planned, to now prosper. Whatever we put our hand to, it increases. It multiplies. We have great financial abundance. There's no lack. There's only increase. Increase of love. Increase of finances. Increase of peace. Increase of prosperity. Increase of health. It's all there. And it's been the plan from the very beginning. Ephesians 1 and chapter 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Every spiritual blessing God has given you. Every spiritual blessing. That means there is no other blessings that God can give you. He has given them all. There is nothing else that we need to be blessed with. You've got them all already. You've got all the blessings required. And if we've got all the blessings of God, if we've got every single blessing, because it says all, if we've got all those blessings, now we are in a place, we have the power to prosper in our lives in an amazing way. Let me continue reading this. So he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, this was God's plan for your life from the very beginning. From the foundation of the world, his will was for you not to walk in lack, not to walk in poverty, not to walk in struggle, but to walk in blessing, to walk in paradise, to walk in paradise upon this earth. In other words, you bring heaven on earth. Remember what it said to Abraham back here? He said, you will be a blessing, and you shall be a blessing, it says. That's what God said to Abraham. Because when the blessing's on us, we now become a blessing to the earth. We become a blessing to other people on the earth. In other words, the blessing works through us to touch other people. This was the plan from the very beginning, from the foundation of the world, it says here. Going back to Ephesians chapter 1, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We're adopted, meaning we're his children, we're the children of God, and that's now why the blessing is upon us, because we are his children. And let's go on. And to pray through the praise of his glory of grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So we're now acceptable to him. We are no longer that person who is not trying to provide our own needs. Now we are accepted because we understand he's our source. He's our provider. And the blessing is what makes us rich in all ways. The blessing is what we have in our lives. Now, the blessing takes on many different forms in our lives. We just have to let it work. We have to keep understanding that it's God that's providing for us. He is our source. And if we keep looking to him and asking him, God, I'm ready to receive this. And we have to have the understanding that he wants to provide for you. He wants to give you everything. He's already given it to you, but for you to receive it into your life, to manifest it in your life, you have to understand he has given me this. He wants me to have it. Some of us, we walk around and say, well, God wants to punish me. Well, I can't have this for this reason or that reason. No. Understand that God loves you and he wants to give you everything. The desires of your heart, not just your needs, but the desires of your heart, God wants to give you. Whatever it is, you open your heart and God wants to pour it out upon you. When you have that understanding and realize he's the provider, now the way is open for it to come upon you. And you will become great in this world. You will become famous like Abraham and Isaac. You will become great because you'll be following God Almighty. You'll be following the God who has made us blessed. And as we follow him, we receive that provision. We receive that blessing. And we multiply and we increase. And we're fruitful, and we have dominion. Exactly what the will of God was from the foundation of the world. It is working through us in all ways. Let me read here. There's a little caveat we should notice. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, so we talked about already that we got to understand that God is our provider in order to receive from him. If we try to provide for ourselves, we disconnect. But there's another little point here we're talking about right now. It's that we also have to be a giver. In other words, if God is blessing us, he's blessing us to be a blessing, as we read about with Abraham. In other words, if we're being blessed just to store it up, then the blessing is cut off and stops. When we receive the blessing, we need to let it flow out into the world. Now, we can go down a little bit further because we want to talk about, let's see here in Galatians. So he's talking about this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. He's saying if you want to have your barns full, I don't know if you have a barn at home, you know, but whatever it is, you want your bank account to be overflowing. He is saying that when increase comes into your house, remember to be a tither. This is one of the principles of God being our provider. He provides for us so that we can be a blessing. If we're not a tither, then the point comes where it stops the blessing from flowing into our lives. If we continue to give and share as He has blessed us, we will continue to multiply and increase. So number one, we have to remember He's the provider. And number two, when the blessing comes, to be a tither, to tithe it into the kingdom of God, so that that blessing you have can now go out and be a blessing for others. We have to remember to be a tither in order for that to increase. It's important to remember that. Let me read in Galatians 6:6 here along the same lines. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So again, he's talking about sowing. We want to sow into the kingdom of God. It says we don't just want to throw the excess money that comes into our house or, you know, those blessings around anywhere. We want to bring them into the kingdom of God so they can truly be a blessing to other people and grow in great ways. And this is how we increase. And we don't want to get tired of doing good, because as God is working through us, He is talking to us to talk to other people. And that also is sowing into the kingdom of God. When God gives us a word and we share that word with the person He told us to tell, it's the same as Him giving us increase in our life, and we share that increase with God. It's the same thing. We're sowing a seed. And it says, as we sow, so shall we reap. So if we're just going around and sowing gossip and this kind of thing, that's what you're going to get back. But if you're sowing, to the kingdom of God, though, and you're saying the things that God wants you to do, and you're doing the things that God wants you to do, you're sowing into that kingdom, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap more blessing, more increase. You're going to still have God as your provider. Everywhere you go, as your feet touch the ground, it'll become prosperous. Everything grows. Everything multiplies. Everything increases in every single way. This is the day today for you to have the understanding that God has given you the power to prosper. This hasn't happened 1,000 years ago. It's happening today, right now. This is the power that you got when you received Jesus into your heart. This is the power you've got. You've now got the blessing of Abraham back upon you. It doesn't matter what previous generations did. This blessing is upon you to increase your life. And when you can have that understanding in your heart, God will provide for you in such amazing ways, above and beyond all things. Let me read Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He is able to do above and beyond what you're going to ask or think. In that is the power that you've got inside of you. Say amen to that. And that is the power that is working. That same blessing is working in you today. The same blessing that was in Jesus, that was working to multiply and increase, that blessing is in you. You've got the power to prosper. Say amen to that. Amen.